Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Best Life Cafe. When was the last time you thought about something that really made you feel good? You know, what fills you up? Are you operating from love or fear in your life? And really, how are life's distractions creating disconnection with yourself? Today, I am speaking with Chara Rodriguera. She's the owner of Soul Path Yoga and the author of the two most recent releases, Breathe and Love, a compilation of poetry and the most beautiful images. Chara is a mystic, a mama, and a master of holding sacred space for personal evolution and spiritual practice. She has been a teacher of yoga, meditation, mindfulness, and inspired living since 1995. She specializes in sharing life, changing practices and programs that will empower and shine your divine light, live your unique magic, and honor your authentic path. And I just want to say, before I introduce her, this book is so utterly beautiful, romantic, full of self-love reminders, and just really a breath of fresh air that speaks to your heart. I sat and read this book last night. Oh, I'm still going to get emotional preparing for our interview, and I have to say, it is absolutely enchanting. The pictures, the poetry, it really just felt like a declaration of my heart and soul. And so, good morning, beautiful Chara.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for time with me. I'm so happy to be here with your listeners.
I am so happy to have you. And we just go back so far because I think, you know, it probably was 2014 or 15 that we really connected, and it's so funny because whenever I hear your name, see you on social media with all of our, you know, connected groups that we have, I always say, "Oh, beautiful Chara." it's like that has been your name to me. And you know, anybody who gets this book and sees how beautiful you are inside and out, because not only are you beautiful on the outside, but the inside is so shining through, especially in this book, you know, appropriately titled Love. And so what I first just want to ask you about, because I mean, there's so many places to go, but what was the motivating factor to write books like Breathe and Love?
I think it is a calling. I think we all have our calling, the inner prompting, these glimpses of desire that we're sort of led to, we're intuitively led to. And the funny thing is, Kathy, I never considered myself a writer growing up or even in my early adulthood. But I will tell you, when I first started yoga, I was blessed to take some classes with teachers that would read sacred poetry at the end of class in Shavasana. And I remember tears streaming down my eyes because I had never heard language like that. I had never been spoken to like that. And it opened this part of my heart that I didn't even know existed. And that is one of my deepest hopes for this book, Love, and also my first sacred poetry book, Breathe, is that it brings these rays of light into your heart to spark whatever your calling might be, whatever you're getting glimpses of to say yes to. And it's kind of amazing me that I am a poet now, because again, I never writing was never something I was going to do.
You know, so, and I think traditionally when you think of poetry, you think of rhyming, you know, but that's not what this is. This is such spoken truth from the heart that flows into a way you can read it as poetry, as art. And that's what I said to you prior to the show, is that really what I discovered from this book was how it was art. And often, like you say, I'm not an author or never thought of myself as an author, but you're an artist. Like deep down,
yes,
writing is art, and the photographs, you know, incredible photographs in your book, with all due respect to your photographer, because I did read that he had passed, and one of your photographers in your acknowledgments, you had talked about that you were his last shoot, and it touched my soul so deeply to read that, because I was like, what a way to leave a legacy. Anyway, I don't want to get into that much, but I just wanted to acknowledge that his art, his photography was incredible. I mean, just incredible.
So you had
to write the books, of course, because they're in us and they come out. But how did it come about for you? You're happily married. You have two beautiful children. You know, a pretty full, happy life. How did you have to come from a place of like the wife, the mother, into your self-love journey, and then have this pour out of you? Like, what was the tick that said, you know, this isn't, I mean, I'm living this best life, but there's more.
Yes. So many great insights and profound ways we could go with that question, Kathy. So I want to address what you just asked and link it to, you know, where these books came from. And so if I could just take a step back to when I was about 25, that is when I took my first yoga class. I didn't know anything about it. Seemed weird, but I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I had no coping skills, no self-love. I had no mindfulness tools. And I was so anxious and stressed out all the time. And so I went to my first yoga class, and thankfully there happened to be amazing teachers there. They taught me how to breathe, and I always remember that moment when one of my first teachers, Claire Diab of the American Yoga Academy, who is still my beloved mentor, taught me how to breathe, and that's when the rays of light started coming in. And it was almost immediately that not only did I know that's what I needed, I somehow knew that I was meant to share it too, eventually in my own way. And when I was ready, under her mentorship, I started teaching. And as I would be sharing the yoga, as if spirit started speaking through me. And I would be listening, like the me that, you know, we think of as ourselves, was listening to these words coming through. And that's where the writing comes from. It's as if spirit starts pouring through me, and then I do my best to interpret it. And I say in my opening letter of love, sometimes these poems come from spirit speaking to me, as if spirit is writing this poem to me to listen to, and sometimes it's as if spirit is speaking through me to share this with another. And that's kind of how my path started on this spiritual path. You could say path of awakening, path of self-love. Well, here's something really funny. I used to say my journey was one, going from darkness to light, from despair to flight. And that happened while I was, if you want to say single, I don't really believe any of us are single. I believe we're all in a stage of relationship. And sometimes that stage is in relationship with ourselves and life and God and the universe. So we're never, I don't believe in being single, but I did want that partnership. I will admit, I wanted that partnership. And it was not coming easily, and I thought maybe that is not meant for me. Maybe my divine plan is to be a light bearer and to do what I'm doing and do what I'm called to do. And I came to terms with that I'm okay with that. And yet I still had the desire if it was meant to be. So I got to a point of being so elated, so filled with love, because I was teaching yoga full time, like almost 24/7. And the love and spirit was just pouring through me all the time. I learned about manifesting back in 2005, and, you know, all this magic started happening. I started teaching my life program. And I think God said to me, or the universe, whatever word you want to use, said, you know what, Char, you really have done a good job on this level. You're like a Zen master. Well, let's make your dream come true. Let's not only give you the husband, but let's give you two sons. So you're going to live with three men. And now let's see how you do with all your practices, all your present moment awareness, all your manifesting, all your love. Let's see how this goes.
I love you. That's great.
So that is really where love poured out from, is this place of that it's not just finding the light. And I know you and I have been through this with our coach, Nancy Levin, that there it's the wholeness of the shadow and the illumination together, and the wholeness of the paradox, and that really love is everything. It's not just this light that we're striving for, or finding the right person, the love of our life that we're striving for. It's the totality of this human experience. And that is why I think love, this book of sacred poems, is so deep. It's not even like part of my soul. It is my soul.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think that's what you're feeling when you read it. It's like,
yeah,
it's my interpretation of something that you really can't put into words, right? On the back of the book, where the description is, it says, the first thing is a question. It says, is there anything more profound, powerful, magical, multifaceted, and divine than love?
Yeah.
Like, how do you even start?
Yeah, but
where
no,
do we even
I mean,
start?
I think that is the thing, is that everything that I can go back in my life and look back on issues, problems, traumas, has been repaired with love. Either finding new love, or finding, you know, after heartbreak, or like some openings in your heart that has to do with love, or the birth of a child, or the, you know, care of a child or a parent, or it's just love is the driving force in our life. And I wonder, you know, I want to jump ahead and then I'm going to jump back, but one of my questions was, why do we close our heart? You know, because a lot of times, like in relational love, whether that's a child or a spouse or a friend, if we have been hurt, you know, or slighted or angered or betrayed, we close our heart. That's the first thing that happens.
Yes.
And then there's this whole rebuilding process of opening your heart back up and trusting. And some of that, I believe, and in your book, speaks to that place in between those is the self-love piece. And so when you're, you know, in parenting, wife, all that, how did you break into, like, wait a minute, where's the self-love piece? And how do people really find that? Because it's really sometimes so hard to even wrap your head around.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that question. And if I may, I would just like to refer to your book, which is one of my favorite books.
Cute.
And I was revisiting it, knowing that I was going to be speaking to you. And your chapter 21, The Path to Self-Love, begins with an incredible quote. And it says, I don't have to look for love because I am love. And that quote is by Euphoria Godsent. And I absolutely love that you started your chapter on self-love with that quote. We have not, most of us, been taught that. We've been shown a paradigm or a belief system that makes us think love is something we have to strive for, find, search for, beg for, that it's missing from us and we have to find it. And that is one of the reasons why it has caused us so much pain, is a false belief system about love. And so when we can come from the place, or at least the intention of being open to the place, being open to finding the place where love can flow through no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter who you're with or not with, that you can begin that process by breathing, by simply breathing and inviting love to move through you, inviting your breath to ignite the heart, ignite your heart and the love that you already are, the love that's already there. And I speak to that in one of my poems where my beloved at the time broke my heart with an infidelity. And I felt like my heart was just in a million pieces. I couldn't stand up straight. Sure. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't function. And it was through that breaking of the construct, the belief system of what love was or what I believed love to be, that the grace started to enter my heart. And I started to, that was the moment I started to learn what self-love was. And I looked into the mirror through my tears and I said to myself, I will never break your trust. I will never leave you. I will never mistreat you. I am here for you. I love you. I feel blessed by you. I will always say yes to you. I will always respect you. And that was the beginning in my early 20s. And so sometimes something that breaks our heart or sometimes a lover leaving us is the catalyst for us discovering this bigger truth, which I believe is going to be a new paradigm, a new belief system that we are becoming ready to step into. I believe the whole planet is ready for this paradigm. You wouldn't know it by watching the news or even watching media.
Yeah,
but
I
think there are enough people that are discovering love as a state of being, love as the energy that holds the universe together, that love is what we are made out of. And that brings about an incredible metamorphosis, an incredible evolution and rebirth within ourselves, and then we have a whole new intention, motivation, and way of creating. When we have that inner belief that we are never without love, we are the love. We can give ourselves that love all the time, anytime. And all we have to do is breathe and invite it, breathe and declare it, breathe and own it.
You know,
that's the beginning part. And may I just say, Kath, I want to hear your question, but that is where you asked me. That's where breathe came from. That's why breathe is first, before love. First, we have to learn how to breathe, and then we can learn how to love. So there, I just
one of your poems.
Go ahead, Kath.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. One of your poems starts out, it just says, love is a state of being. It is communion with my deepest truth and with the divine one who illuminates the sun. It's just the first part. I don't want to give the whole yard away. But when you were talking about finding that self-love at such an early age, and I think about, you know, my daughter who's 24, 25, and her friendship group and how we did not really grow up knowing anything about self-love. And so I'm like thinking, wow, you kind of had a head start starting that early. But to look in the mirror at yourself and have those conversations, you know, maybe 10 years ago, people were like, who would ever do that, right? Like, that's so weird. Affirmations are weird. Why would you say I am blah, blah, blah? But when you were just telling me and describing that, I literally thought how important that is for self. To self, that is how you build a relationship yourself. Sometimes I'll look in the mirror and say, you look beautiful today, or I'll be like, holy cow, you need a little help, you know, whatever. And that's physical, but my insides, our insides always have that light. It's what we do with it. It's either going to be cold, closed off, shut down, opens up when you see a Hallmark commercial or a kitten, or, you know, like those little glimpses of opening your heart. And so it's just such all of all the stuff. So So I loved what you just said. I'm just sitting here in awe. But I wanted to go back to a conversation you and I had about, and you kind of brought this up about how you started manifesting. And I really loved the way you said you were a manifesting maven, meaning you manifested all these things and you were a fountain of excitement about it. So just talk a little bit about manifestation period. I just want to get your take on, because it's so, you know, the buzzword, and I want to know your take on manifestation at this point after you've been doing it for so many years.
Okay. That is a big question. And there are a lot of techniques. I will say it's the process of co-creating with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the process of co-creating with life. And I was raised, I'm going to guess you were too, about having goals. You set a goal and you have to figure out how to do it. And if you cannot figure out how to do it, then you tend to give up. Well, I can't see how that could ever happen. And so you don't take a step forward. It's too scary. It's too big. It's too risky. What if I fail? Well, this is where the love comes in too. When you are in connection with your breath, with life, with the love that you already are, with the universal life force, you start to realize you are not doing anything alone. The life force is infusing your body. The intelligence of your body is running things. You're an intimate part of nature, and there is a life force that infuses all of nature and is working together with everything on the planet, everyone and everything. So when you're in connection with that life force, you are not by yourself. You have universal support to create. Life itself is creative power. Your breath is creative power. Your inhale and exhale working together is creating more life force. So to manifest is to come into that communion, that connection with life, set your intention, and then bring your thoughts, words, and actions in alignment with what your calling is, what your deepest desires are. And to start taking steps, no matter how small, in that direction, you will begin to manifest. You will become it energetically first, and then in the material form, it will start to show up. And life will start to give you very clear signs as to guide you which way to go, what choices to make, so that you feel you are on, and this is why I call it soul path yoga, your soul's path, your illuminated path. The path that is meant for you, not because, oh, it just looks good and you want it, but because it's who you are. And there's a word in Sanskrit that is one of my favorite words. And the word is dharma. And a lot of people think, oh, that means following your dreams. It actually means law. Well, what are you talking about? What does that have to do with manifesting? Well, it's the law of nature that a rose seed with the right environment must become a rose. It is not going to become an apple tree. It is meant to become a rose plant and produce roses. An apple tree seed, it's the law of nature for it to become an apple tree and produce apples. Well, each one of us has our own dharma. Each one of us has seeds of greatness inside of us. And that calling, that longing, is because that is who you are. That is what you are meant to do. It actually causes more suffering and pain by not following your calling and your dreams than following them and making a mistake or falling down or not having it turn out right. It's when you're on your dharmic path, which I believe is your soul's path, it is easier for the universe to support you in having your dreams come true, in manifesting what your highest calling is. You want to manifest all the things that you find to be beautiful, that light up your heart, so that your life and your world is a reflection of your deepest truth. That is what inspired living means.
Mm-hmm.
In spirit, co-creating with spirit. You know, and for a while when I first learned manifesting, it was fun to go to parties and, you know, be all fancy and, you know, oh, I manifested more money, blah, blah, blah. In time, all you will really care about is having your life be an accurate reflection of your deepest truth.
Amen. Yeah. Because that's the only time you feel, because when you're in authentic alignment with your life, that's really the only time you feel on. You know, like if you are a little bit out of alignment or you're not speaking your truth or speaking up or whatever it is, you always have that little bit of offness. Even though you can function and get through your days and roll through life, it's only, I feel, in the moments when I am absolutely owning what's true in my heart, period, that I feel, regardless of what that is, the best. I think. I feel like that's true. One of the things what you talked about in manifesting was this, there was three stages, and I wondered if you could touch on those, because I really love, I wrote them down. I was like, oh, I love that.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you asked me that question. Well, I have to give the credit to one of my favorite centers, the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Wellness. And I did my training back in the 90s there, and the early 2000s, I did a lot of programs at Kripalu. And they talk about, in Kripalu, the three stages of yoga, but it doesn't have to refer only to yoga. It's three stages of life. And it doesn't mean we're trying to get to the third stage. We actually need the awareness and the skill set of all three. So they call the first stage the willful stage. And I think that's the energy that most of us have been brought up in. That was my whole first 25 years was the willful stage. It's you making a choice, you making a goal, you taking action. It's you doing it. So if we were to refer that to a pose as a metaphor, it would be like if you're going to do standing mountain pose where you're just standing tall. Okay, you have to, it's what you do. You have to plant your feet down. You have to elongate your legs. You have to reach the crown of your head up. Maybe you reach your arms overhead. It's the actions that you are consciously taking to create an outcome. That's the first stage. They call it the willful stage. The second stage, and this, I believe, is the stage of manifesting. This is the stage they call will and surrender, or what I call my will and thy will. It's you and the universe, or you and God, co-creating together like a dance. Mm. So the metaphor would be in yoga, you're standing in your mountain pose, you did all your steps, you did all your actions to bring you into the pose, and now you add your breath. You add the invitation for life and love and spirit and consciousness to fill up the pose, to move through the pose or the shape that you're creating. And when you do that, there is an alchemy that happens. There's a magic that happens where healing can occur, transformation can occur, release can occur, things that you would not be able to do through your sheer will. But things that can happen by being in connection with your breath and spirit and knowing that you're doing it together. That's the energy of manifesting. So they call it will and surrender. The third stage is total surrender, or what I call thy will. And that is when you have opened yourself up to the flow of life moving through you. We'll again use that mountain pose as the metaphor. But now, because there's so much life force moving through you, you are just guided to move and allow yourself to be moved in whatever way spirit moves you. It's like you become a vehicle of spirit, an instrument of spirit, where you let go of trying to manifest anything. You just trying to fix anything, trying to do anything. And you and I talked about this, that we're kind of at that stage in life where we are like, God, tell me what to do, or life, show me the way, where we are willing to trust and allow life to move us, allow ourselves to be guided. So all three stages are important. And in any given moment, you may need more of one of those energies. You may need to take more action in one moment. You may be in one moment may require more of a give and take, more of a dance. And in certain moments, it's like, I've done everything I can do, and now I'm going to let go and let God, and I'm going to be guided. So those are the three stages. And
that is beautiful.
If I may say, thank you, Kathy. If I can add, I believe any form of yoga or spiritual practice will help you become more aware and skilled to navigate these three stages. However, I can say from experience, full path yoga, which is based on 12 foundational principles that empower you to live in integrity and live with greater awareness, skill, and love. These principles that we do one a month are really going to help you navigate those three stages and navigate life so that you can be on your soul's path. You can shine your light with more courageousness. You can live your magic with more authenticity, and you can walk your soul's path with that courage and that knowing that this is what you are being directed and guided to do. So I would invite anybody listening, if that sounds like a yes or sounds interesting to you, just reach out to me through my website, chara.tv, or on social media. And I would love to share Soul Path Yoga with you. It's virtual now, so it's global. You can be anywhere in the world, and it's recorded. So if you cannot be there live or you're in a different time zone, you can have the recording, and we can practice together. And I think the greatest...
You really just took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to ask you that whole thing. Where can they find you? I know yoga's virtual. It's so perfect. We're like... connected. That's awesome. That was exactly. I want people.
Thank
I will
you.
Also just tell you, listeners, I'll be posting the links on the Best Life Cafe Facebook page and my personal page. So when the show comes out, you'll be able to find those links there. So just go back on the public post. So we're getting towards the end, which I hate because I absolutely could talk to you for hours, but I wanted you to be able to read a poem for us. And so if you could do that, and then we'll kind of circle back.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. You know, this particular poem was calling to me for a lot of reasons, and it's not very long, so it's perfect in this format. And this is a poem entitled I Understand. And I think it really speaks to the self-love, the beginning, the relationship of self-love, or deepening the relationship you already have in self-love. And I would invite everyone listening to listen as if it's a meditation. Just close your eyes and invite your breath. Invite your version of love. Invite the type of love that you most need and desire right now. And just allow the word to wash over you and through you. I understand. I look in the mirror and I understand. Only I can know all that my reflection has been through. Only I can know all that I feel. I am seen and heard by the one who knows me best. Somehow the lens of judgment shifts. Somehow the veil of criticism lifts. It's as if I have a new pair of eyes that can see more than I ever could before. It feels as though my vision is connected to my heart. It's as if I'm seeing myself the way God must see me. There are no flaws, just divine expression. There is nothing to fix, just things to learn. There is no uncertainty to feed, the soul to nourish. In the past, I was never good enough. In the present, I am awakening to a developing trust that I have me, and me has she, and together there is we, promise to adore, protect, and nurture the inner child I am, and to love, honor, and celebrate the emerging woman I am becoming.
How could you not take a deep breath after that? Wow. And what I love about your work is just that. Like, your words literally speak to the heart. It's not just a cognitive, you know, it is actually internal. Like, I feel that to my soul. And all of your poetry, all of your writing, I feel to my soul. And you saw how emotional I got before the show, just to tell you, because I was, like, just blown away by the beauty of your expression. And I am so appreciative of you coming on the show. Like, I'm thinking, oh, it's time to get you back by Valentine's Day. So I wanted to end on a light note, because it's the holiday season and there's been so much strife and yuck in the world. I want to know, what is your favorite Christmas tradition?
Oh, wow, how exciting.
Everybody in December is going to ask that question.
Yeah, just, you know, putting up our holiday decorations with my sons. And a friend of mine, one of my yoga students, gave me a fun little tradition she does with her daughters. And I incorporated it with my son, and we always look forward to it, and we already did it. And it's called the pickle present. So whatever your holiday tradition might be, whatever your decorations may be, we put up a Christmas tree, but you might have other decorations. Well, she gave me these little ornaments that are pickles. They're shiny green pickles, but I suppose you could use anything you want, and you could call them anything you want. And then they go hide in the basement. My sons go hide in the other room in the basement, and I hide the pickles in the Christmas tree. And they have to find them, all the other ornaments. And then when they find the pickle present, they get a little pre-Christmas little treat
or little present.
And so, you know, it's extra exciting putting up the tree and doing the decorations because they know they're going to get their pickle present. So that's one thing we like to do.
I think Christmas is really one of the seasons that most brings love out, you know, with the exchange of gifts. Like, that's obviously an expression of love for some people. And for me, I'm a gifty, like, that's my thing. But it's such a beautiful, magical, twinkly time that for me, and I hope for others, is a time where you can just really put all of this stuff aside for a minute. And obviously we're more closed, you know, down this year, but just taking those little traditions, watching those Christmas movies, putting yourself in the light and path of, like, the Christmas love, because I have believed in the magic of Christmas since I was 3 years old and could go out and wish on a star. Like, I remember always saying, just wait till Christmas Eve and take your Christmas wish, you know, like, don't worry if you got a Christmas wish coming. And so I just love this whole season and the whole magic of Christmas and how love relates to that. And so tell people where they can get your book.
Thank you, Kathy. And I 100% agree with you. You can get the book Love and also my first one, Breathe, which is my first sacred poetry book, on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and put Love Book Chara Robert Guerra, and it will come up.
Yeah.
There's the book form, and there's a Kindle form, which is on sale right now, so it makes it real easy to get. I would love to share the love with you. And I can also find me at my website.
Yeah, beautiful Christmas presents.
They're the perfect gift. Perfect
gift.
And you know what? It's not. I've had men love them and write reviews for the books. It's not just for women. And I've even had people who I didn't necessarily think would relate. They're not necessarily on the same kind of path you and I are on, who just were so effusive about it. So I think for anyone who wants to experience more love, it's a great, great gift, and it could also be a gift that you give to yourself. And just to add to what you said, Kathy, with this time of year and with everything going on, to remember that you are a light here and you're here for a reason. And even if you have lost love or you're going through something that's really challenging, say yes to yourself in as many loving ways as you can. And offer as many random acts of kindness for others who may be heart-heavy during this holiday or this time, and know that your light, your love, your random act of kindness can make such a huge difference in starting to infuse that new paradigm of love being the center that you and I spoke about.
Yeah. Oh, Chara. Goosebumps everywhere. You are a beaut. Okay, well, we have to close now. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I want to just thank our listeners for tuning in, sharing, reviewing. I appreciate you so much and all the feedback that I've been getting on the Best Life Cafe. Thank you, Chara. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye,
thank
everybody.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, listeners.
Bye.
Bye.